And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Police continue to have a standoff with a suspected sniper after four Dallas officers killed during the protest today. Three people apparently in custody now. More things going on. We're going to check in with Taylor Millard, of course, who is with iHeartMedia's and Radio's 24/7 news service. Taylor, what's the latest out there now?
Well, here's what we know, George. As you said, Dallas police are negotiating with this suspect in the parking garage. They say he's not cooperating. He's threatening to kill more officers and is also claiming to have bombs all over downtown. One thing that the chief said in his news conference is that he's actually worried there may be other suspects out there. As you said, there are three total in custody. They're negotiating with this fourth suspect, but he's worried that other people may be out there and who may have been involved in what happened in this attack, which left four officers dead and seven others injured, as well as a civilian. And one thing that the civilian said, which shows about the relationship that the black community has with Dallas police, was like when her family was talking to her, she was like, "How are the officers? How are the officers? Are they okay?" You know, that shows the relationship that Dallas has with the black community.
At this point, Taylor, has the police department revealed who these suspects might be, where they may be from? Do they live in the Dallas area? Are they from a different state? Do we know anything about them?
They haven't said anything, except for that they think that these people did have some inside knowledge of the route of the protest route, which happened in downtown Dallas. But they aren't saying if they think that these people are from Dallas or from elsewhere. They're being pretty tight-lipped about this. They're saying that they're not getting a lot of help from the people who are in custody discussing what's going on. So they're probably as mystified as everybody else is mystified.
I wonder if they'll get tough and just simply blow up part of that garage and take this suspect out if he continues with his threats.
They said that they're considering all options right now. That's what the mayor said, is that they're thinking about all options. Obviously, he didn't say what those options were going to be, but they're thinking about everything right now as they try to end this standoff.
All right, Taylor, we'll be in touch with you throughout the night. Taylor Millard, he is with iHeart's 24/7 news service, and I am so fortunate that we have that at our disposal whenever we need it. And this is one of those nights, folks, where we will need it. We're going to go to open lines, but I want to restrict tonight your calls to what's happening in Dallas and also your thoughts on relationships between police and the community as well. Tomorrow night, Friday night, will be a different night, folks, for more open lines. But tonight, let's restrict it to this breaking news story where police are now in a standoff with another suspected sniper after four Dallas officers were killed during a protest, a peaceful protest, I must add, and three other people in custody. Seven officers are wounded. And as you just heard from Taylor, they are concerned that there could be other suspects out there somewhere. We don't know that yet. But around the country, we will go to your calls for your thoughts next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. I, of course, am right in the heartland of America, an hour-plus flight away from Dallas, Texas, on that very tense situation. I'm in St. Louis. We are reacting to, following the breaking story that unfolded tonight at a very peaceful demonstration where 60 shots fired out, hitting and killing four Dallas police officers and wounding seven others by several suspects, three in custody, a fourth police are negotiating with him or whoever this may be. He's in a parking garage. And we're going to take your calls throughout the night. Special guests will be popping on as well. So just hang with us. Belinda Womack, who is going to be with us in a couple hours to talk about Archangels, will be rescheduled, obviously. Let's go to Dr. Jerome Corsi, WorldNetDaily.com, whom we have turned to for many breaking stories that occur around this country. Here again, Jerry, another sad, tense situation.
George, the whole situation is tragic. I mean, first of all, it's tragic, the shootings of, you know, the two incidents with the, you know, black victims that caused the protests. And there's, of course, no excuse for the violence, for snipers shooting the police officers in Dallas. I mean, it's completely adds another tragedy. The Dallas police force is one of the most progressive in the country, one of the best managed in the country. And this is, you know, none of these incidents that are causing the violence occurred in Dallas. It's really tragic all the way around. And, you know, my heart goes out to the police and their families and that are victims of this terrible shooting sniper incident.
Well, this leads me to believe, Jerry, that these suspects may be from the Dallas area, may be from Texas, for this to happen in Texas. There have been protests, sporadic protests in regions around the country. And as you mentioned, the episodes involved occurred in Louisiana and Minnesota, far from Texas in that situation. Why they went after Dallas police officers is beyond me.
Well, I'm sure it's just, you know, the rage across the country and you know, our officials and President Obama, I know, you know, it has heartfelt concern over these incidents. It's best if we don't get inflammatory rhetoric from our public officials, which worsen the situation.
It's way too early for that. That's right. You're right.
I mean, that's, you know, from the very beginning of the Obama administration, the Professor Gates incident, Barack Obama's had a tendency to speak out on these incidents and presume the police are guilty before any of the facts are really in or investigations have been completed. I mean, we've got to also preserve law enforcement within all areas of our country, and if law enforcement officers are afraid or chilled from doing their job because of concern that an incident with an African-American is going to cause what's going on tonight, it's going to be a detriment to all citizens across the country. And so I think tonight is a time for encouraging calm across the country and reason and trying to figure out, let's get to the bottom of these situations and figure out, you know, what the incidents really involved that precipitated this. I know there's a commitment across the country in law enforcement to do everything possible for training and for improved police relationships across the country. And these kind of sniper shootings are completely irresponsible, uncalled for, criminal, and tragic.
Absolutely. Now, at this point, Jerry, we don't know who these individuals are, what their religions might be, what their motives are, other than they're ticked off people. We don't even know if they're U.S. citizens at this point, do we?
No, we don't. We don't know if this is a, you know, if there are radicals involved or if someone is exploiting the incident or, you know, throwing gasoline on the fire or what the case is. I think all we know is that there's snipers shooting at the police. And I believe four officers are down and maybe even some transit workers in Dallas. But, you know, it's the middle of the night and we're not going to get effective reporting on this or, you know, any opportunity to really find out what's going on. If something like 11 police officers were shot ambush style, four fatally in Dallas, you know, it's going to take us a while to sort out all these facts and really get to the truth. And I would encourage everybody across the country to, you know, let's relax, let's pray for the victims, and let's get the facts, including who the perpetrators, who the snipers are, what their motives were, and, you know, let's get to the facts of the case before we jump to a even greater reaction, which could cause more violence and more deaths across the country.
Jerry, as I take calls throughout the night, what's your situation? Can you hang with us another 10 minutes?
Sure, I'll be happy to, George.
Okay, Jerry, I'm going to put you on another line here for us. And we're going to go to calls as well. Dr. Jerome Corsi with us to react as well to this situation in Dallas, Texas. Let's go to Carla in North Dakota, first-time caller. Carla, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Sandoff.
Long-time listener, George. Love your program. I listen every night.
Thank you.
I agree with Dr. Corsi. I like him too. We need to pray more. But George, I think people see things on the TV and the media, and it just gives them more ideas.
Yeah, and I think social networking too, Carla, contributes to some of this, where, you know, now you can literally stream live an event that's happening, and it doesn't cite whether it's accurate or not. It does create tension with people.
I mean, we all need news. We've been lost about it, but, you know, nothing spreads quicker than bad news, and it gives people with, you know, bad ideas just to, you know, something, you know, that they want to try themselves. So look at, I think the news has got so much to do with it. You know, it cut us on right away and just, oh.
Carla, tell me, what were you doing? Where were you? How did you first hear about this tragedy in Dallas?
I was actually coming home from my job. I work at a nursing home, and I heard it on the radio. I couldn't believe it.
I know it. It's.
I live in North Dakota. It's like, geez.
It's surreal.
We all need to pray, George Moore. We just need to pray.
We need something. And Jerry, how many communities are vulnerable to what has happened in Dallas? I would guess it could happen anywhere.
It could happen anywhere, George. This is the problem. And, you know, first of all, we don't know who the snipers were. We don't know, you know, even if they are from Dallas, we don't know if they were.
We don't know if they're ex-military. We don't know anything yet.
We don't know anything. You know, what we do know is that, you know, these kinds of situations, which are volatile to begin with, we've got to encourage our public officials to responsibly call for investigations and get to the facts of the incidents that precipitated this. And until facts are out, we can't just be jumping to conclusions. These are not, you know, these are real incidents. They're not just acting on social media. You know, people want with their cell phones to live stream incidents, and we're getting a kind of tragic reality TV shooting mentality going on right now. And, you know, these filming these incidents and putting them up on social media has disastrous consequences if it leads to copycats and gets others to want to become stars for a moment by taking a weapon and just shooting people irresponsibly. These are incidents that have to be carefully examined, and we need to have public officials with a calming effect when they're speaking out, not jumping to conclusions, but allowing law enforcement with the, for instance, the two incidents that caused this. It's tragic that it's tragic anyone's killed in any incident, and if police are involved in an incident where someone is killed, that's tragic. Whether it's black or white or any race, and it needs to be investigated, and the police need to be held to be responsible. But we can't have an overall reaction where our law enforcement officers are afraid to do their jobs and are concerned that any incident, any interaction with an African American could result in either one of these blow-ups across the country, et cetera, because we have to have law enforcement be able to do their job in rough situations in all of our communities across the country. We should investigate, pray, calm down, and get to the bottom of these situations so we can prevent it from happening again.
Well, and also, Jerry, to have this kind of pinpoint accuracy, I mean, to gun down 11-plus police officers and wound a civilian, that's pretty accurate shooting. And in order to have that kind of accurate capabilities from wherever they were in buildings or garages tells me that you've got to be trained.
Well, certainly if there's sniper incidents going on, and we don't know how many snipers there were, you know, whomever was doing the shooting knew what they were doing with the weapon and was capable of inflicting damage from a sniper type of situation. I mean, if you take a look at the shootings we've had, including the terrorist incidents, sniping has not been the traditional. You know, we've had unfortunate instances of people going in and shooting everyone in a movie theater or a dance situation like in Orlando. But we haven't had snipers taking weapons from hidden positions and shooting randomly or targets and killing police. This is a new type of violence that is a different form and is a more frightening pattern, which indicates that there's probably more sophistication among the shooters and there's more evolution of the ability to use weapons in a, you know, a very threatening, very damaging way.
Well, and the problem too, Jerry, is these police officers are clearly identifiable. They're out there in uniform. They're easy to find, aren't they?
They're easy targets. I mean, we want our police identifiable, and we want our fire officials and transit officials and public officials of all kinds to be, visible in our society and able to, deal with situations. It makes me reflect upon, I spent a lot of time in Israel, and in Israel, where there's a lot of people who are armed, when these situations happen, very rarely does a shooter get along for very long, because there's someone with a weapon who's going to be able to put them down very quickly. Part of the difficulty we have is that in the United States, we presume that our cities are essentially peaceful, and we're not anticipating random violence.
Yeah, those days may be gone.
This is a new pattern. This is a frightening night because I can't recall an incident. I mean, I can recall 1969 when I studied and I wrote a report on a shootout that happened in Cleveland with armed militants shooting against the police in Cleveland. Called Shootout in Cleveland. I wrote a report for the Eisenhower Commission on the Causes and Prevention of Violence of a group of black radicals who got into a gun battle with police in Glenville, Ohio. And since that incident in 1969, I can't think of an incident where well-trained shooters were picking off police targets as snipers and shooting them.
And these snipers have got to believe and understand they're not going to get away. They're going to get caught or they're going to get killed. So the motivation behind this is very strange too, Jerry. Let's go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, George, I just want to tell everybody that everybody needs to remain calm and pray to the good Lord that we keep this thing under control, because I'm going to tell you something. There are rumors floating around that the powers that be want a civil uprising this summer so they can overthrow the election. Military coup d'etat allowing the president that's in power right now to stay in power. Now, this is the game plan. This game plan has been out there for a while. Now, this thing that happened in Texas tonight, I think we're going to find out that there's a lot more behind this than what people realize. But just let me say this. Everybody, please, drop to your knees tonight and ask the good Lord to please help us to keep calm, because if we play into the hands of the global elites, if that's exactly what they want us to do, they want us to go into a civil uprising.
Well, that's true, Ed. I don't know if that's in this particular case, but there's no question that the globalists would like some kind of uprising in order to put the kibosh on so many things, including the election. And Jerry Corsi, I want to thank you for staying with us under these tense breaking news circumstances, my friend. You're the best, and let's keep in touch, okay?
Thanks, George, and let's have everyone, I agree to pray, stay calm, let's get the facts and not overreact. It's a terrible, tragic situation, and my hearts go out to those officers and public officials in Dallas who are down. It's a terrible tragedy.
We're going to come back with more information on the breaking story in Dallas, Texas, and your phone calls. I'd like you to restrict your calls to this subject matter tonight, as you've heard so far. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast as we continue to follow this tense story in Dallas, Texas. Four police officers shot to death, seven others wounded. Three people apparently in custody, a fourth firing away at police as he is holed up in a parking garage. We're going live now to Taylor Millard of iHeartRadio's 24/7 News. Taylor, what's the latest out there?
Well, George, it looks like there may be some movement, which this person who they were trying to negotiate with holed up in the El Centro parking garage. A large blast has been heard at the garage where this person is holed up. It isn't known what the blast was, but it might be Dallas police throwing flashbangs. One of the reasons why we think this is because police told everyone who was near the scene to back up and back away. So it made it sound like that they were getting ready to start doing some movement of some kind in the garage to try to capture this suspect, or obviously to end this standoff. So that's the latest that we know right now. This suspect has been threatening to kill more officers and is also claiming to have bombs all over downtown. One thing that Police Chief David Brown said earlier this morning is that he's worried there may be other suspects out there. There are three total in custody right now. One of them is a woman. The fourth person who they are obviously trying to capture is inside the parking garage. There was a person of interest whose photo they released earlier tonight and said that this was somebody who they thought was a suspect, thought it was somebody who they wanted to talk to. They used both person of interest and suspect. It's being reported that he's been released from police custody.
All right.
So if that is the case, then obviously he wasn't involved with what was going on, but people were concerned because the photo that they released showed him carrying a long rifle at the march, at the protest in downtown Dallas. One thing that should be noted is that that's legal. It is legal to carry long rifles openly in Texas, and so that's why nobody batted an eye when they saw that happening, because it's legal here.
And Taylor, do we know if these suspects are Americans or not?
Nobody has said anything. No one is discussing what is going on, what their nationalities might be, what their motives might be. Right now, it's just trying to get these people in custody. The one thing that the police chief said is that the ones who are in custody are not being helpful at all. They're not really discussing a motive or why they decided to do this. They do suspect, police do suspect, that the suspects were at least attending some of the meetings for this march, which happened last night. And so they knew the route, and that's when they decided to attack the police. But that's information that's still being figured out, and hopefully more information will be released later on today when police hold another news conference about what has happened this evening, now going on into the early morning.
And Taylor, thank you for staying up all night with us on this situation, to be sure. But for people who want to follow you along throughout the day, how do they get to you on iHeart?
They can actually follow me on Twitter at Taylor Millard. That is at Taylor Millard. They can follow me there. And obviously listening to your local iHeart radio station, whether it is through the iHeartMedia app or just on the radio. That's the way that you guys can keep an ear out on what's going on, and obviously listening to your show.
Okay, stay with us, Taylor, because we'll be talking to you later on tonight as well. In a moment, Dr. John Curtis joins us, along with your calls, which we will take all night long, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Those of you on hold to react to this situation during some of our open line segments, just get there, because as I continue talking with our guests, including Dr. John Curtis, we'll go to your calls too, so you're not going to be waiting that long. Dr. John Curtis, of course, heads up the onlinecolumn.com. He's the onlinecolumnist.com. And he provides vital information and blogs on regular stories throughout the day. Lately, he's been on to talk with us about the political scene. But here we go with this one, John. This one was a tense one.
I'm coming. I mean, you're not that far from Ferguson, and we all know what happened with Michael Brown over there. And that was just really just, 2012. And then since then, when you consider the amount of African-Americans that have been, butchered basically for whatever reason by white police officers. I think this is, with Trayvon Martin starting this thing off, Mike Brown, Eric Garner in New York that was put in the chokehold. You know, you had the fellow, you know, the guy in Baltimore, Freddie Gray.
Freddie Gray.
Remember that? He was in a police van.
And all the cops so far are getting acquitted.
And that was always part of the problem. And I don't know if you remember, I think you do, back in 19, I think, I don't know if we were talking with each other about that time, but in 1992, you know, there was, you know, Rodney King, who was a video surfaced about him being beaten savagely by the police, went through this extensive trial. I mean, this world, you know, famous, almost like an OJ type trial. And all of the police officers, they had on videotape just beating him savagely to a pulp, they were all acquitted by a white jury in a little area called Simi Valley, which is kind of a police haven.
I know that well. So let me ask you this, John, and specifically as it relates to this tragedy. We don't know who these suspects are. We don't know their religion. We don't know if they're Americans or not. Once we get a lot of that information, we can put the pieces of this bizarre puzzle together. But I sure hope to God this isn't some terrorist activity, because all heck's going to break loose.
You know, people have to reserve judgment. I mean, you can't rush to judgment with these things. We just don't have the facts yet as far as the profiles of these individuals. I mean, the assumption that a lot of people are going on is that these are related. You know, these were the murders happened during protests for the last string of two killings that happened in Minnesota and
Louisiana
and in Baton Rouge. So given that those, you know, that it followed very closely on those heels, I think that it's not unreasonable for people to assume that this is a backlash. And we all know that this history is undeniable that we have been living through right now. And President Obama has certainly made some statements about how these incidents are all too frequent and too common. And I think he was very sympathetic to Trayvon Martin back in the day. And I think that what we're dealing, and also, George, I think part of the problem right now is that, I don't know if you were following, I was very carefully last night after the two shootings, the cable news coverage that was going on a number of the networks. But it was literally like whipping people. I mean, they had pundit after pundit just venting rage toward the police, and this is, you know, referring to this as like a kind of hunting season,
yes,
by white police officers. And this was being whipped into a frenzy last night. And what you have today is a very different tone on cable news today after this massacre has taken place. And I think this is one of the largest police shootings that has happened in U.S. history.
Oh, I can't recall anything bigger than this.
No, I don't think there has been. And, you know, this was a very calculated sort of massacre, an ambush, if you will, of police officers in Dallas. And I think that, you know, there's good reason why people are pointing in the direction of not a foreign terrorist group, but in connection with these, quote, peaceful protests that were going on in multiple cities around the country to protest these latest two killings.
All right, let's take some calls here with you, John. Marie in Chicago, she's been on hold for a while. Hi, Marie, go ahead, please.
George, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. My father was a police officer in Chicago during the riots, and he said he hadn't seen anything since the Blitz in England, and he couldn't believe that Americans were going after Americans. But when he overheard what was being said on the radio and on the television, these people were just dividing them even further, dividing the police, dividing those who were involved, because they were communists, he felt, and ready to cause problems.
Too much hate.
Well, also, I have relatives on the Dallas Police Department.
Are they okay? Have you heard anything?
I don't know. I'd like to say hello to Buzzy and Corrine. If your son is involved or whatever, our family's praying for your family. And believe me, I know that they are devoted to their professionalism, as my father was, because he also defended the life of Eisenhower and Truman and Kennedy when his special detail would have taken a bullet from him. So as far as I'm concerned, I think it's about time, you know, not only should we start praying, but finding out who is putting each person against one another, the blacks against the whites, the browns against whatever. Find out what's going on and the influence that they've had on these people to be able to have that much mesmerization as they had at Fort Hood, in Boston, all these other places where now we're getting shots over expressways here in Chicago. It may not be police officers, but their lives are just as important as anybody else's life.
Of course they are. And as you know, Marie, we... Go ahead, hon.
Calm down.
We have many police officers that listen to this program, John, on a regular basis every night. And a lot of them call into the program when we have guests on or open lines. And they're dedicated, hardworking people who put their lives on the line every night. Now, this is going to be a different situation because police officers are uniformed. They're uniformed for a specific reason. But if they're going to get shot at because they're so identifiable, that's going to change, John.
Well, it can, because, I mean, they're just open targets right now. And I think that, you know, the atmosphere, you know, we've got the backdrop of terrorism going on. You have this race war that has been escalating over the last several years. It's kind of interesting that it happened under the first black presidency. I think it's safe to say that this is probably the worst spate of kind of racial violence. I mean, what was happening in Ferguson, you know, just a few years ago was just really spiraling out of control, and the looting and the rioting and the violence. And I think what you're witnessing right now is a kind of race war that we're going through right now. And of course it's a horrible thing. And, you know, a lot of people have been, you know, pointing fingers at Trump and suggesting that he's a, you know, white supremacist or that kind of thing. And I think it's completely off base. I think what you've got, George, you've got a lot of, and you know, you've been around major cities like I have. And anybody that knows the New York metro area, the different boroughs, the Los Angeles area, the Chicago area, knows there it's a tale of two cities. I mean, what Bernie Sanders was saying in the campaign is real. There are people that are left behind. There are people that are barely surviving in this economy. And, you know, yes, we have a historically low unemployment rate, but we also have an underemployment problem in this country where people are working minimum wage jobs and can't make it. And I think those problems are really exacerbated in inner city areas where it's, and you know, you've got far worse conditions. The homeless population, the amount of crime that is going on in major cities right now, and people who have no jobs and are disenfranchised and are ready to lash out. And I think you're looking at like the tip of the iceberg right now of people really fed up with the kind of sociological conditions that are going on. And then you have these incidents. And obviously, police officers are putting their lives on the line on a daily basis. And 99.9% of them are 100% solid. But you get a few bad apples, or not even a bad apple, but somebody who, and really this is part of the problem.
And John, let me interject real quickly. One of my sources reporting that he is hearing from the Dallas Police Union that a fifth officer has now died. It's not confirmed yet, but that's what he's
reporting. There were others in critical condition.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that we have some horrific conditions that people are living in, and we've been talking about this breaking point, this tipping point, where things are going to happen, not just because of just only racial issues, but because of this terrible, you know, economic situation that a lot of people are suffering with in these inner cities, with these homeless populations and the poverty that is so rampant and nothing is being done about it. And I think that when you have those kind of conditions, it's a combustible situation.
John Taylor Villard has been with us all night long from iHeart News. And Taylor, we have heard some tragic news that a Dallas police officer, number five, has died.
Just reported, yeah, a fifth police officer has died in Dallas following the attack on police at the end of this march in protest against police shootings. So it's a fourth Dallas police officer The other police officer who died is a Dallas area rapid transit police officer who is someone who has DART is the mass transit that's here in Dallas. But yeah, five officers are now dead following this attack. Six others are hospitalized in a variety of conditions.
All right. Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate that update. Indeed. It gets even sadder, doesn't it, John?
Oh, it's just horrific. I mean, this was a massacre, and it was a very calculated massacre. And I think you see the reports of these snipers taking their positions and opening fire on these officers and transit workers. And I think, you know, that when the dust settles, you know, I mean, there may be even more deaths because, I mean, these people were obviously they came very well prepared with the right equipment. Somebody was saying that one of the guys, Mark Hughes, a fellow named Mark Hughes, pictured on a variety of video and toting, and it looked like an AR-15 assault rifle in army fatigues. He turned himself in, and he had nothing to do with this. He had a permit to carry in Dallas, and he was at the riot with everybody, or the protest with everybody else.
Well, I can see how he would be a suspect, though. My God.
Yeah, but I think he's already been cleared.
Yes. It's too bad he wasn't around to take out some of these real suspects.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you consider the magnitude of this massacre right now, and I don't really think that I've witnessed or anybody has witnessed this kind of an assault on a police force by civilians before. Now, of course, you could argue that the Fort Hood massacre in Texas that happened on enlisted personnel
That was a Muslim who did the shooting, right?
Nidal Hassan, who was actually an army psychiatrist, a career military guy who was radicalized by the head of the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen named Anwar Awlaki. And that finally came out. But the Obama administration, this happened very early on in the Obama administration, it took them 2 months for them to admit that Nidal Hassan was radicalized by Al-Qaeda.
Well, what it may be too early, John, in this particular case, to see if these suspects are related somehow to ISIS. I don't know, and we don't know that yet. But it sure would be curious to find out exactly what is going on with that. Stay with us, Dr. John Curtis, and the rest of your calls. Some of you have been on hold for a very long time. I'll get you right after the top of the hour break, and you'll pick up some latest information, I'm sure, from your local newscasts, and we'll have more when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.